that really sunk into me. He is our first love every day. All the time. So when we put Him first every day to start off our day, that's what Jesus was talking about. You've lost your first love. In other words, you got other priorities. There's other things you're more interested in. And no matter what's going on in your life, it's Jesus. You start the day with Jesus. You praise Him. You lift Him up. And I'll guarantee your days will be different. I read a psalm every morning or two or whatever the Lord leads me to. And it gets something inside of me to go through this day. And how many knows the day can get rough? You can have big disappointments. All kinds of things can happen to you. But if you got that Jesus in there, first thing, first love, Him number one, it will help you to overcome whatever comes against you. It's just Jesus. You know, some people say, oh, it's a crutch. No, it's not a crutch. He's everything. You know, and if somebody says, well, you just got a crutch. Well, fine, but why don't you try it? Try this Jesus just a little bit, and it'll change your life. Praise the Lord. Music, maestro. We got a... Am I on?
I think so. He's up front.
Am I on? Me. I'm on. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The Lord has given me He always gives me a message. We need to get some more into the power of iniquity over us. Iniquity is it's not sin. It's something that it can come down through our fathers. It is sin, but it's. For instance, I had anger. It had a hold of me. It came from my grandfather and my father, and even further back. And I thought it was my way to live. It wasn't. It was like a rat in the pantry. The rat's not part of the house. It says the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And so, let's say that a girl was abused by her father, her uncle, or whoever. That thing goes back in the family, that abuse. And it's like if you was ever in the South and you get a hold of a leech will get on your body, suck your blood. You know, you go in the water and what do they call them? Blood suckers. Well, just like it's not part of you, but it's a blood sucker. It's got a hold of you and it's sucking you dry. And you don't know where did it come from. It came down through the generations. It's a generational curse. And we can break those curses. I would say that in some way or another, two-thirds of the women in this church sitting here right now have been abused. Sometime or other. If you've never had prayer for that. And also the men. Something that was not right when you were younger. Doesn't have to be the act of sex. It can still be something that's unclean that has come down to cling to you. And so I'm just going in the, you know, from the unction of the Spirit here. This isn't what I'm talking about, but I guess I am. And see, we can be delivered from that. And see, the church has been taught, well, a Christian can't have a spirit. Well, the temple is holy and pure. The flesh is corruptible. So this thing, just like a bloodsucker, hangs onto the flesh. Let's say that if I was praying for a gal, for instance, and I come against the spirit of lust, Well, the natural mind would say, well, why are you picking on her? She's not lustful. And a woman isn't lustful. But the spirit is there. And I'll tell you one of my first experiences with that was at a Christian camp. And this gal said, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong. She had four little kids, sweetest little gal you'd ever see, loving Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. She said, something's wrong. So we start praying, and I don't know from nothing. I mean, this is all brand new to me. And all of a sudden, I heard the spirit of blasphemy real strong. And I looked at her, and I thought, that devil, you ain't getting me in on this one. And so I wouldn't say anything. And they kept praying and looking. Anybody got anything? Not me. I ain't got nothing. So pretty soon I heard it again real strong. Blasphemy. And I didn't realize the spiritual realm then. Okay? So finally, I gave in. And I kept looking at her. And so I said, well, you know, I didn't want to say it. And pretty soon I got it out enough. They picked up on it. They started praying. And then she felt like she was going to throw up. Something started moving, okay? And so we prayed, and she got delivered, okay? And you say, well, how could that happen? We found out that the blasphemy wasn't from her. It had come from her mother. Her mother was a real hellion and just, you know, hated God and on and on and on. So that spirit was there. She's trying to serve Jesus, and that spirit is coming against that and trying to pick on her. And to look at her, you'd say, there's nothing wrong with her. But she knew there was something wrong. And when the Spirit of the Lord gave me that word of knowledge, you know, of the Spirit, and we began to pray, then this thing began to kind of move up her spine. It just kept moving and moving. And finally, we got a bag. She thought she was going to throw up. She didn't. But she felt like, you know, there's something in there. And finally, it was gone. And so, the Lord is able to deliver us from these I call them family spirits. That's why they call them familiar spirits. And you can be plumb innocent. And somebody four generations ago could have had this problem, and it goes bam, bam, boom, and you're in. And you don't know why. You don't know what brought this upon you. Lord, you got me into this. I guess you better take me further. Let's look in, want to look in Luke. Or is it chapter 13 where it talks about the woman? Matthew, Mark, Luke. That was in the church, met over 18 years. Is it 13? I have to apologize because I got all my notes, and that's not where I'm at. Is it Luke 13? Okay. Thanks for helping me. If I can find 13, I can count. Okay. Can everybody find Luke 13, 11? It says, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, this particular spirit made her bow over, and she could no wise lift up herself. This thing's got a hold of her, and she's crippled. And she's bowed over for 18 years, going to church, going home, going to church, going home, going to church, going home. No help. How many people go to church and go home, go to church and go home? No help. Because Hosea says we perish for lack of knowledge. So this thing has got a hold of her spine. And she probably doesn't have the foggiest idea what it is. And he doesn't really tell us except it's infirmity. It's a spirit. How many knows it's a spirit when he says it's a spirit? Okay? Thank you, Lord. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to the woman, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue was angered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the people, there are 6 days in which we ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath. That was a lie from that head guy, because she'd been there 18 years and they hadn't healed her. And the Sabbath is a time when people come for a touch and to be healed. That's what we're here for. This is a hospital. Jesus, the physician, is here. He wants to touch us. And I feel that not only did I have, I personally had a spirit of anger, I had a spirit of jealousy. You don't know what that's like. It's hell. It's hell. Because the devil tells you all these things and you begin to believe them. And when she was very young and we had little kids and she'd go to a women's club, I'd call up with an excuse about something to make sure she was there. Me. It's hell. Because you're tormented. This spirit torments you all the time. And if you're gone from home, then it really torments you. But I got good news. The Lord delivered me of that. Hallelujah. And then I'll guarantee it was a spirit. And I'll guarantee it was just like a bloodsucker. And the blood of Jesus washed that thing off my leg. Actually, my spine or wherever it was. Fear, it says fear has many torments. We can have the fear of getting cancer. We can have the fear of death. We can have the fear of not making it. The fear of not being able to pay our bills, on and on and on. Fear. See, faith is the opposite of fear. Faith says, Jesus will take care of me no matter what. We're coming to a time when we need to get strong in the Lord, because I believe all hell's going to break loose. And if we're not, I tell people, you know, when I go to a store, I expect a parking place. I don't want to walk from the back. There's religious people, they believe walking is holy, so let them walk. I want right up front. And I've had people get angry with me about teaching this. If you can't believe for a parking place, what are you going to do with cancer? You better start getting your ducks in a row, and you start believing for little things, and then it begins to build. It begins to build. And you can't look at the person, you can't look at their flesh, and figure out what's going on. They can look innocent or they can look guilty. That isn't the point. The point is the Lord knows. And if you can't come up with some name for something, the name infirmity is good. That's what Jesus did. We don't know what was wrong with her, except it had her bound. And didn't he say he'd come to set the captives free and set at liberty those that are bruised and the prisoners from the prison house? Isn't that what he come for? Well, then that's what he come for. And I was bound with jealousy. I had anger that I would just flip out and the veins of my neck would stick out and I'd get red-faced and scream. Y'all looking at me like, you? Yes, I did. But see, I died. That's not me anymore. The fact is, I used to get headaches. You know. But thank God, He has forgiven me of everything, and He set me free. When we were singing that song this morning on "Ride with a White Horse," I don't like horses. But I'm gonna love them. Because we're going to come riding back on a white horse. We're all going to be cowboys and cowgirls riding on a white horse. Okay? And so, even though I don't like horses, I have been involved in praying for horses. Oh, Lord. He can do it. He can get you to do anything if you're willing. If you open yourself up. Let me go on with this. Where are we at? They all got set free. You say, now horses have spirits? Yes. When the demons went into the swine, what'd they do? They all committed suicide. Which gives you a point of what these demons are up to, what they want to do. They want to kill you. Why do you think people commit suicide? Spirit of death. That's another spirit that I had on me. I was convinced, my dad died at 46 years old, that I was going to die. I had heart trouble. I'd had a heart attack. I had high blood pressure, and I was waiting to die. And I did, hallelujah. That's the year I got born again. I remember I jumped off the Davenport one day, and I said, I died, and I'm jumping around. Sandra says, my God, what is it now? Because I got very wild for a while. I'm still a little peculiar, God says. Are you enjoying this? Is this helping you? I know it's the Lord because I had everything. I prayed this morning. He showed me what he wanted. And then I get up here and he says, I want that. Hallelujah. That really makes you rely on the Lord a whole lot. Okay, 13. Okay, 14. 15. All right. The Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite. Does not what each one of you on the Sabbath water the dog and feed the cat and take care of the canary? We got to get in there now. We don't want this way back someplace. And not thought this woman being a daughter of Abraham. See, here's the key. She's a daughter of Abraham. Remember when he talked to the people and says, my father, your father, and he told the Pharisees, my father's God and your father's the devil? He knows who's saved. And this woman is just as saved as you and I, daughter of Abraham. Who bound? Satan has bound low these 18 years to be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day. When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. He did many more things. Many more. Where is it to the third and fourth generation in... somebody know real quick? The sins of the fathers. Is it in Exodus 20? Is it in Exodus? Exodus what?
10 or 20.
I apologize again for searching around.
Here it is, Exodus 20.
Okay.
It's the text.
Where is he talking about the sins of the fathers? Huh? What? Okay. Let's just go through this. It isn't going to kill us. Amen. Starting from verse 1. Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. See, he brought us out of darkness into light. He brought us from being trapped into being free. We were all under darkness until he came. It's like the blind man is, they said, who sinned, the blind man or his folks? And Jesus said, neither one. And he said, well, wait a minute. Iniquities, the family curse had come along. That's why. It follows. It's like out in Africa, these wild dogs will get after something, and they'll dog it. That's where we get that dog in it. And they'll follow it and follow it and follow it, and they'll wear it down. And if it's big, there's enough of them. They'll just keep cutting pieces and chunks out of it until it goes down, and then they devour it. I don't care how strong it is. Yeah, it could be a strong one. But if they get on it and get it out from the herd and get it away, and they'll begin to dog it. What do you suppose these leeches are trying to do to us? They're dogging us. Right. Get us separated. And the devil will come along and say, well, you're pretty holy. I know we're holy. We leak. But to get you to separate yourself and say, well, I'm special and I don't need to hang around with these people. If you're trying to find the perfect place to go, don't go there. You'll probably ruin it. Hello? Where's my amen?
Amen.
Okay. See, we're all working through this. We're all going through the struggle. Life is a struggle. He didn't say it was Primrose Lane. And I remember getting spirit-filled. I thought, boy, it's over. It just began.
Amen.
I could see all these bugs and stuff that was flying around. I couldn't see them before. And all of a sudden, my eyes were open. I said, my God, we're in trouble. Right away, it just hit me like a sledgehammer. Praise the Lord. Okay. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, any graven image, the likeness of anything that's in heaven above, in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. See, there's that visiting iniquity to the third and fourth generation. So, you could have something happen to you that happened to your great-grandpa, and that thing will go along, and maybe you didn't see it in your grandfather or your father, and bam, it's working on you, and you say, where'd that come from? My father didn't drink, my grandfather didn't drink. I got two brothers, we all became alcoholics. Where'd it come from? Found out my great-grandfather died with snakes in his boots. He died horribly tormented by those demons. And so it just went along and bam, it jumped four generations. And I'm sure jealousy and hatred, you know, I had so much hate in me, I was a real redneck. Blacks and Hispanics and you name them. And like I told this guy one time, this black guy, he was kind of laughing. I was giving my testimony. I says, what are you laughing at? I said, I hate white people too. See, it has no boundaries. And you know what the Lord finally showed me? That hate was in me and I hated me. That's where the problem was. It wasn't them people. You know, somebody could walk by down the street and say you didn't like them. I didn't like them either. Just that quick. Because that hate was working in me. And once the Lord delivered me of that, oh boy, it just felt like I was holding my house on my shoulders, and all of a sudden, I began to just almost float. Could almost float away. We're gonna do some praying today. We're gonna leave time for it too. If you got some thing that you think's bugging you, some leech that's hanging on you, well, just pray about it. And Jesus is here to set you free. And you could be the innocent one all the way along. Nothing you've done. Who sinned? The father and mother of this blind man or him? Neither. It's an inherited thing. It's come along. You didn't have to have or partake in any of it at all. And yet the thing has come along and hooked onto you. And Jesus can set you free. And a lot of people say, well, I'm a blasphemer because I'm saying a Christian can have a spirit. Let me tell you something. He's saying right here, he's saying the same iniquity that woman who was a daughter of Abraham, who was saved, had that spirit, and she was bowled over and couldn't get loose. When we begin to break these strongholds of these iniquities, you take somebody who was in an abusive family, and they say, well, I'm not going to abuse anybody. Oh, no? That spirit is there. And you'll do things and you'll be sorry for them afterwards. And you'll do it again and you'll be sorry for it. And you'll do it again and be sorry for it. Why? Because that leech is sucking your blood. It's hanging on you. And you're doing things. Remember when Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. This is Paul. He said, what is it? It's Jesus. He come to set us free from all this junk. He's King and He's Lord and He's the only one who can set us free. And He wants you to be free. So if you was in an abusive situation, a lot of girls that have been abused, they can become real cold. And even in their marriage, it's not like it should be. Because there's a coolness there. They can become a lesbian because they all of a sudden get a hatred for men and can't get over. Or they can be promiscuous. In other words, they can become a harlot. They can open and go clear the other way. So see, that familiar spirit can cause them to do a multitude of things, and none of them are good. Amen? And a man the same way. That lust can get on a man. And remember it says the eyes are the window into the soul? So it's for women too, but you men need to pay attention to what you look at. I remember I used to pick Sandra up to college sometimes. Well, in the summertime, they don't hardly have anything on. And I can either go down the street and run into a parked car, or I can keep my eyes on the Lord and drive on down the street and pick her up and go home. You know, the devil will always show you somebody that's prettier than your wife. Always show you somebody that's the right weight and the right height and on and on and on. But see, you fellas, it isn't what's on the outside. It's what's in the heart. That's where the true beauty is. Amen? That's where it is. Lifts the skin deep. What are they like on the inside? Jesus makes it right. A wife is a gift. What are you smiling about, Ray? You're always smiling.
He's sitting here growling.
Oh.
Making lion noises at me. I like your heart.
You know, if you want to see the joy of the Lord, stand up, Ray, and just turn around and look at him. You want to see the joy of the Lord?
God got you.
Here, speak to me. Speak to me.
I had things that Bud had that he was mentioning, and I was possessed by all the spirits. I was delivered, and he set me free. And he talked about a ton of weight off my heart.
Amen.
Came off.
Amen.
And I was delivered from my past childhood issues also. I was free.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Huh. Oh. Okay, she wants me to tell the frog story. This gets into another realm, but really it's not. We had a frog that sat by our TV. It was a carved frog that I gave to my father-in-law, and when he died, we inherited it back. And at night, I'd be sitting watching TV, and this frog's eyes would gleam in the dark. And I says, I'm getting rid of that frog. And Sam says, oh, no, it was Dad's. We can't, you know. So I kept it for a while. Well, about the third time that turkey looked at me in the dark with his eyes gleaming, I said, that's it. The honeymoon's over. So I took him out and put him in a burn barrel. And that thing just sat there and looked at me. And never it was real light wood, and the fingers should have burned right off. That thing just sat down, and when all the ashes was gone, that frog, he's not burned. Still looking at me. I said, in Jesus' name, this time. So I got me some sticks, and I got a real furnace going, and I dropped him in. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you're going to disappear. And I guarantee you, he burned. But see, that thing was supernatural. And people will bring things into their homes. It's been made in Haiti, and all these weird, wicked places, and from Africa. And then they wonder why they're being bugged in their house.
Is that a fun?
Well, you see, that thing is not possessed, but it draws the spirit to it. And you got that thing in your house, and it's a bullseye.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I had something like that once, too. I had a little devil.
Just a minute. Okay. Okay, speak.
I had a little statue of a devil once, and it says, I'm a horny little devil right across the front of me. And I used to put that on my wife's pillow all the time. I thought it was real smart, you know. And I finally realized that he was causing problems of lust in me. And I took him and I put him in a barrel, just like Bud said about that frog. And he wouldn't burn. And I done the same thing. I just kept putting him back in the burning pile. And then finally I said this, I done the same thing. I prayed over him, Lord, I want to get rid of him, and I don't know how. I even took him out of the burning pile, hit him with a sledgehammer, and he wouldn't break. And so I put him back in the burning pile, and I said, Lord, I want him to burn. I want him to be gone. I don't want anybody to ever see him again. And he burnt and disappeared, and he's gone.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come up. Lois, you can come up too. We're getting the mic fixed. Yeah. Okay.
Test. Can you hear it? Test.
There we go. Okay.
I don't want to do this.
Well.
But confession is good for the soul. I had a very interesting experience this week, which exactly illustrates what Bud's talking about. I have a little mentally retarded gal, and she's about the same size I am, but she's pretty hefty, and she's very strong. And I've been working with her regarding Bible studies and trying to get through to her on some very interesting things. It's been a rather trying and wonderful experience because God has taught me something about myself. Every time I've gotten through to her, I have really had to search myself. Well, the other day, Wednesday, we're supposed to meet, and I was in Portland for a graduation and couldn't get back in time for our usual session. So I called off an evening appointment and told her that she could come on over and we'd have Bible study that night. And her advisor over at home said that she had a letter for me and something really bad had gone on, problems with the authorities and something, and I didn't know what it was at all. So she came over and she handed me the letter, which she often does. She almost always writes me a letter. And when I read it, I just about couldn't talk. And finally I said, Carrie, what did you do this for? You know better than that. I can't even tell you all the details. It is so gross. But she had run away that night, which she does about every 3 weeks. This is a cycle that she has. Then they put her on suicide watch, and she gets all this nice attention. And two girls had brought her back from her walk, her runaway, and there was a young man that was brought in from under one of the houses, and he was supposed to watch her that night to make sure she didn't try to kill herself. So he went into the restroom, and she was waiting for her turn to get in there, and she asked him if she could come in now. Well, he didn't answer, and she walked in, and that set this whole thing off. He went in the living room and sat down to watch TV, and she went in, undressed herself, and jumped on him. And then she proceeded to go down to the police station and report him as having molested her. And I just about, I said, what in the world did you do this for? Well, I know, when I stop and think about it, I know she's been molested, she's been raped, she's been beaten, she's had all kinds of things happen to her. But I said, you just can't do that, Gary, to destroy somebody just because you wanted something and didn't want to admit it. And so I tried to explain it to her, and she got just furious. She jumped up, and I knew she had this terrible temper. It's really awful. She attacks people all the time. I thought, well, I guess it's my turn, because the Lord told me to tell her how wrong this was and what she'd done, and that she wasn't kidding anybody but herself. I said, I know what your intentions were. God knows what your intentions are, and you know, even if you're not admitting it. And she said, well, I told the truth. And so she got up and threatened me with her fist, stood over me and said, fight me, fight me. And she was really, really angry. Well, this went on for a while, and I kept trying to explain to her that she had to understand what she did wrong. Well, they're not going to put me in jail. I said, no, they're not going to put you in jail, but they'll probably put that poor man in jail. I said, sure, he didn't have a right to touch you, but you were asking for it. And I said, to go down and pretend that he attacked you is about as low as you can get. And so I was trying to explain to her. Well, she got up again and was really agitated. Then she sat down again and was trying to listen. And then she got up and went for the door and started to go out. And then she turned around and called God and me some very lovely names. Well, I just walked downstairs, and she went out the door and walked to the end of the walk. And she stood there. And then she turned around and came back. I went out on the porch. And this is where I have to confess. I have struggled with a spirit of anger myself all my life because it's in our family. I think it was my great-great-grandmother tried to poison my great-great-grandfather because he was unfaithful to her, and she had a very delicious Spanish temper and tried to poison him. So this is passed down, and I was always told any time I didn't agree with anything that was said that I had a temper like my aunt so-and-so. And I was told this over and over and over again, so I developed it quite well. And I have prayed about it and really worked on it, and I thought I had everything under control. But for one tiny moment there, I got a little angry. And it wasn't much. I really was more concerned about her. But it really bothered me for her to call God names, and that's not my job to worry about. And I forgot that. And as we were standing there trying to get squared away again, she hauled up and slugged me a couple of times. It all happened pretty fast. And those spirits entered into her. She has spirits of anger, rage, murder, suicide, lust, control, manipulation. She's just loaded with them. And all of a sudden she ran at me and shoved me right off my porch. It's about 3 feet high. It's a long way down to the ground. I'm sorry. She ran at me and shoved me off my porch. It's about 3 feet high, and it's a long way down, let me tell you, when you're flying through the air. So I landed on the ground, and I laid there for a moment, and about that time I heard the fellow from across the street that's watching over her come running up the stairs, and he grabbed her, and I thought he had secured her, so I got up and went back up on the porch again. And there was a girl there, too. They were both wrestling with her to get her under control and weren't doing a very good job, I guess, because she got away from me again and shoved me off the other end of the porch. And I really don't know how I found a place to rest down there because there was so much stuff in the way. I know God was protecting me because I'm not dead, and I should have been because it was really bad down there. We're cement blocks and a post, and it was not a good place to land. But I don't even remember hitting, and I don't remember where I landed. Well, after the guy finally got a good lock hold on her, took her away, the girl was talking to me, and I told her what I had said. I said I knew she'd probably attack me, but I wasn't exactly expecting this. And she said, well, you said the right things to her. She said, we can't say anything. We can't discuss it with her. And she's just bragging about this whole thing and carrying on. Well, the point is, I lost it for just one little moment. And now, of course, my husband will not let me have the girl in the house anymore. And he doesn't want me to even go across the street to speak to her or to have anything to do with her. But I know it wasn't her. And I would like prayer that God will restore it.
Think about that, and in my background, as far as I knew, everyone at least purported to be a Christian, and I thought, well, that doesn't apply then, because it's just for the people that hate God, and so I'm afraid that I neglected that aspect of my life, and I didn't know exactly the third and fourth generations, and we don't know about their personal lives, and for my part at least, most of them were gone long before I came on the scene, and I just wanted to say that this is a revelation that I believe I needed in my life, and it's not just for those that hated God, because we don't know who did. Really. I mean, if we didn't know them personally, we didn't know the relationship, we don't know.
you realize from you to four generations is 32 people. You haven't got the foggiest idea what most of them were up to. They didn't have to be God haters. See, they were plagued also. See, that's why we call them familiar. They're family spirits, and there's plenty of them to go around. I was just opening up. You want to look in Ephesians, go in the New Testament, chapter 6. In verse 10 is where we're going. You know, it teaches us to be Christ-like or Christian or anointed, okay? And the anointing breaks the yoke. That's what the anointing is for. So when the anointing comes, it begins to break the strongholds off of us, break them out of our lives. Because you grow up being used to something, and the devil will convince you that's your lot in life. You'll never be any different. But that's not true. Because the Lord has a plan for your life. And His plan is a good plan. His plan is a pure plan. And His plan is a blood plan, the blood of Jesus plan. And He can wash us, the blood washes us from all our iniquities. Isn't that what it says? Washes us clean. And Ephesians chapter 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The power there, the word is dunamis. That's where we get the word for dynamo and dynamite. Sixth chapter of Ephesians, verse 10. See, the power of His might, that also would be sozo, which means that He heals, He delivers, He saves, He come to make us whole. Now, if He come to make us whole, He's got a purpose for us. And His purpose is that we're going to be overcomers. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12 is the principal one I want to get to. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And see, what that's saying is, I don't have a problem with Don. He had a spirit of alcoholism. I don't have a problem with Don. And I pray for Don. I'm not talking about Don. I'm talking about what is hanging on to him. The rat in the pantry. You build a new house and the rat moves into the pantry, he's not part of the house. How many understand that? He's a foreign entity. He needs to be removed. And see, the church has been taught, well, if once you become a Christian, everything is okay. That's wrong. It's not true. Remember what? Let me show you another place. Chapter 1 in Matthew. This is a real demonstration. Matthew 21, one of my favorite scriptures. Is that where I want to go? Now I'm lost again. What I want is where he ran him out of the temple. I thought that was Matthew 21.
When he went to the money changer?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was worriedly looking too fast. Okay, chapter 21 and verse 12. Now, Jesus is God. He's got the ability to call 12 legions of angels to do all His bidding. But see, He's still flesh, too. He came in the flesh. He came as a body of a man, and then the Spirit of God moved into Him. Because He said over and over, it's not me that does the works. It's the Spirit of God in me. He does the works. It's the Father in me that does the works. Okay? He had to come as a man because he had to die. You can't kill God. God don't die, okay? So Jesus came as a man so he could take our place. All right? Now, look at this. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You notice he says, my house. He doesn't say my father's house. He said, this is my house. He's saying, I'm God right there. This is my house. And what are they doing in there? Nothing. They're going through a bunch of rituals that ain't setting anybody free. The woman's bent over for 18 years coming in and out of there. No help. And he gets angry. And I'll make this graphic. Have you ever been around animals and you get them excited? There's one thing they just love to do. And he dumped their money right in it. It was a mess. Now, what we get from this is 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Okay? He physically cleaned that house. Jesus went in. He could have had an angel go in there. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 people in one night. One angel. And he had legions. He could have sent an angel in there and said, clean them out. He didn't do that. He took the whip and he ran them out. Okay? We have the Spirit within us that we can clean the temple. We can run them out. You understand what I'm saying? We got power to do that. He's given us authority. Because Jesus knows that we're from Adam and Eve. See, the first Adam fell and transgressed. But Jesus was referred to as the second Adam who came back to restore it back to us. That's what it's all about, restoring the kingdom. See, the kingdom of God is within us. And so if that's true, then the temple's in there. And if that's true, then we got the ability to go in there and run them out. Get out. Come out of you. Jesus' name. See, so as he showed me that, and in Luke it says, we have power and authority over all spirits, and nothing shall by any means harm us. So he's given the initiative over to us by the anointing and by his power to run them off. Get rid of the bloodsuckers that's taking your life out of you. If you got anger, or if you got lust, or if you've got robbery in your heart, or if you have trouble lying, whatever it is. See, and that don't mean that you're a liar. And if the spirit of lust is there, it doesn't mean that you were the perpetrator of it. It means that you, as it were, inherited it. Familiar spirits, family spirits. And they follow you along, and they dog you. It could be a spirit of insanity. I mean, you can go on and on and on. These are infirmities. We have the power to overcome the wicked one. Okay? And so, I'm not going to go on and on with this. We do get the idea that this is not a personal thing. Everybody, raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying. It's not a personal thing. I'm not picking on Don. I'm picking on the bugs in the orchard. And we got the bug spray, the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. And we're going to gas these bugs until they let him go. Amen? Breathe fire on them. Call the fire of God down. So, maybe we have a spirit of helplessness. Sometimes we just figure, well, you know, what's the use? Woe is me. That's not normal. Right. Right. We can see what's wrong, but how do we get rid of the wrong? Despair. Another spirit that I have to be careful when I pray with women, because there's a spirit of heaviness that's very prevalent. Well, if the gal isn't overweight, well, she don't care when I say heaviness. But if she is heavy, then she thinks I'm talking about her body. I'm not talking about her flesh. Amen? And so if I pray in something, or Mary Lou or Sandra or whoever's up here praying something, don't take it personal if you name something. It's not part of you. If the rats are in the pantry, what does it matter if their name's Huey, Louie, and Dewey? I won't remember tomorrow what they were. I don't want to. Why do I want to remember your junk? Got enough of my own to deal with. Just get it out. When Jesus told the legion to go, he didn't get a rocking chair and says, okay, all 2,000 of you, give me your name. He just said, go. Amen? Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more. Okay. So, we have this anointing in earthen vessels to break the bondage. And it says another place, one more place I want to go. In James. Chapter 5, I think. Thank you, Lord. I bet if we get out of Peter, I can probably find James. Okay. Chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Some of your Bibles will say this in a different way, but here it says, confess your faults one to another. Be careful who you confess your sin to. That's got to be under the unction of the Spirit. You go to the pastor, you go to an elder, and this is a thing between you and God. Okay? Don't go running around telling your sins to people, because they'll remember them, and they'll have them tell somebody else. Like the little boy says, can you keep a secret? And he says, yeah, but I might tell somebody they can't. See, this is all done here, stay here, over with, okay? Now get it. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, see, it's saying here that I got a problem. I got a problem with anger. Pray for me. And as we begin to come against the spirit of anger, the ones that go with anger is rage and murder. They run in threesomes. I don't know why it is, it just seemed to do that. Because anger will get out of control, which is rage, which the next thing you know, somebody's dead. It's just the way it works. Okay? Now we can have a righteous anger, that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus was angry when he run him out of the temple, but he wasn't trying to murder anybody. Okay? So, what do we got? Iniquities to the third and fourth generation. We're not dealing with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities of wickedness in high places. And it says here that we confess our faults one to another. And the time will come when maybe there's something in your life that's even greater than a fault. In the right circumstances, under the right anointing, that can even come out too. And a lot of times, the person praying for you will catch on what it is without you even bringing it up. But see, when you're praying with somebody or talking with somebody, and they begin to talk to you, they will really begin to tell you where they're coming from. They'll begin to confess symptoms so that you can find the root of it. Let's go one more place. When he cursed the fig tree, was that back in... Okay, let's go back to Matthew 21. In verse 20 and 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree. What happened to the fig tree? It withered. It died. What does the fig tree have? Roots. Amen? And it's bearing fruit. Jesus said, you have been given power to curse the roots that it bear no more fruit. If that's an evil root, like cancer's got roots. Amen? If that's an evil root, then you can curse it so it bears no evil fruit against you. Amen? What about anger? You suppose that's got a root someplace? It sure does. See, he's given us a biblical principle here of power that we've always looked at kind of in the normal. Why did he curse that poor fig tree? He hadn't done a thing. Well, it's a symbol of the church that he went into and this woman had been bent over for 18 years and no help. It looks okay, but it's not bearing any fruit. There's no help. And so he was showing them a principle. We're not to run out and find a fig tree today and curse it and watch it wither. That's not the point. He's trying to show us that we have the power to curse the roots of anger and rage and murder, of alcoholism, of lust, of perversion, whatever thing has hooked onto you, we have authority over it. That's what he's trying to tell us. That it bear no more fruit against you. That's what it's all about. And so I'm going to end it up today, and I just thank you, Lord, for showing me where to go and helping us find it. But, Lord, these are truths, and there's a lot more to the message, but I think we have enough in our hands by the unction of the Holy Spirit. But, Lord, we can pray for one another. It says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And, Lord, that we're going to see leeches, as it were, familiar spirits, power broken this day. Their roots will be cursed, and they'll have to loose us. Lord, just like putting a fire to a leech and it drops off. We're asking for holy fire to come this day. And Jesus, you're here. You are the physician. And you're showing us how to deal with our infirmities. And we can break those generational curses today and deal with these. And Lord, I just give you praise and honor and glory. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen. 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 Prayer. Mary Lou, I want you to come up here. Sandra, I want you to come up. Anybody else that's dealt in this spiritual realm of deliverance, Sue, I want you to come up. And I'm not just picking out my favorites. That's not what I'm doing. I'm picking out people that have been with people slobbering green foam out of their mouth, you know, that have been there and done that. Daryl, you was in on the woman with the spare tire. Jim, you want to come up? You want to come up? And we're probably, before it's over, pray for one another. Is that how? That's how it goes. Now, so I want you to come up, and if you have any kind of a